Welcome, everyone. How have you been since our break last couple of weeks? Revealing miracles every moment of your life? Yes or no? No. So, I'm happy to see all of you again. We're going to get back on track, and I just want to reiterate how important it is that you guys made it here tonight, because something my teacher once told me a while back when I started to study Kabbalah, because it's challenging. It's challenging to stick to a schedule of spirituality, to remember. You know, you go out into the world, and the world can suck you into the day-to-day bombardment of things that are happening. So my teacher once told me something. He said, that hour once a week, let's say, that you connect to the wisdom of your soul, you have to know that it saves you hours upon hours, if not days, of chaos that we would probably end up going through if we didn't pass our test spiritually. So a lot of times we're busy and we have so much going on and there's business and there's amazing things happening or a concert or things that need my time and attention. But when we make connecting to spirituality our priority and we feed ourselves, the Creator, through those classes, when you make the effort especially, the Creator transmits messages that we need precisely for the next 24 hours or the next 7 days. And once I get that message and I pass that test, maybe that's one fight with a friend I don't need to have and then think about all week and then undo. Or one mistake in a business that I won't have to botch up a project, then have to try to figure out how I'm going to fix it, which takes weeks, sometimes months of our time. So the idea is, as long as we can prioritize to put the light of the Creator first, then the light trickles down into every other part of our life. All right? So let's review a little bit of what we've learned. You guys remember this concept? The soul, the body. Remember this? We talked about how the soul is connected to the light of Creator all the time. Is that true or false? Is the soul always connected with the light? True or false? True. Our soul, the infinite soul, the immortal soul, is actually with the light. The problem is that the soul and the body don't have affinity. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my being, my essence, when I live life, is detached from my soul. So I don't make decisions from the soul. I make decisions based on the ego, the body consciousness, what I see. Most people, when they see something, they believe it right away. They get emotional about it. It affects them. They react to it. That's what reactive is. Reactive is, I see something, I react. I hear something, I get defensive, or I get upset, or I get moody, or I go into internal dialogue, or I start creating a story, a movie with actors, and we actually visualize people doing things that they will never do ever. But we start playing it out. We start thinking, oh, they're judging me right now. I know it. I know that they're judging me. Look at the way they're talking. They're judging me. They're saying that I'm not good enough, or they're gonna do this, or I know how people are, whatever it is. That's the body consciousness. But when the soul is connected to the body, it's divine. We're guided every step of the way. We see the whole picture. We feel happiness. We experience connection to our world. We're protected. We avoid the missteps and the chaos. So what's blocking the soul from the body? What's in this layer here? What's in this membrane that we learned? What's in that space? All the negativity and the tikkun that we have. Today we're going to learn in depth one of the most powerful and insidious forms of tikkun, which is pride. Pride. The raise of hands, how many of you think that you have a major tikkun with pride? Raise your hand. Okay, 7 people. So by the end of this class, I'm going to ask you the same question again, and I want to see if the entire class will raise their hand. Just remember that we take a poll of the class. Let's see if we can all find an aspect of pride within ourselves. Let's refer to the next chart. We're going to learn first something called the reactive formula. What are we going to learn right now? Very good. The reactive formula. Which formula did we learn prior? The proactive formula. A test occurs, pause, what a pleasure, allow the light in, we transform from reactive to proactive. But what happens, this is what we're going to learn today, what happens when a person is reactive? What happens to a person's soul? Why is it that sometimes when we're reactive over and over again, it starts to become harder to change? People develop addictions. People develop patterns, behaviors that are hard to undo. We're going to learn a little bit about that today. So it all starts with the light. The light always wants to come in. I spoke to somebody today, had lunch with him, and he said, and he's not really a Kabbalah student. And he said, you know, my problem is, you keep saying the word creator, the light. I don't connect with it. I can't believe there's an emotional creator thinking about me, trying to give me or not give me. And it doesn't make sense to me. So I said, let me put it a different way. Let's say this cup right here. If I take this cup and I close it, so it's a closed cup, and I stick it under a body of water, what's going to happen? What's the relationship between the water and this closed cup? What is the water trying to do? It's trying to get in. Can I say it wants to come in? So he's telling me, no, it's osmosis. I said, okay, so what's the language you want to use? What's the relation between the water and the cup? The water is putting pressure on the cup. It's saying, hey, I want to get in. And the minute I remove the lid of that cup, what happens? Immediately, just remove the lid. What happens? The water rushes in. Does the water say, okay, 1 second, let me see if I want to go, if I don't want to go. I'm not sure. I want to punish you. No. You open the lid, the water goes in. This energy of the light is like surrounding us as if we are in a pool of the light. The light is surrounding us, wanting to come in, to be part of our life. And it will push upon us until we either change proactively or pain, which we're going to learn in the future classes, pain forces us to change. So the light every day is knocking, saying, invite me in. I want to come in. When we're experiencing stress and anxiety, that's just the light trying to come in and we haven't let it in yet. Raise your hand if you feel a little bit stress and anxiety right today. You had a little bit of stress and anxiety today. It's not a bad sign. It just means the light wants to be revealed. That's it. Every time the light wants to be revealed, because of the law of blank of blank, what's the law? Bread of shame, you have to experience a challenge. A challenge, by definition, is something that's uncomfortable. Every time you experience a challenge, because of the potential for light to be revealed, who comes to play? The opponent, Satan. He immediately comes because he wants that light. He knows you're about to have light and he wants that light. So when you wake up in the morning in a bad mood, bad mood, feel in a bad mood, not in the mood to do anything today. I hate everyone. Means the light wants to be revealed. That's why you feel that way. You feel that way because today the light wants to be revealed more than yesterday when you woke up in such a good mood. It's always like that. Light wants to be revealed. Satan goes, uh-oh, light's coming. Here comes Satan playing with you, trying to get you to be reactive so you lose that light. You have two choices when there's a challenge. How many choices do you have? Two. Proactive, which we've learned about, and now reactive. So follow very carefully what happens when a person is reactive. Step one, how do you feel when you're reactive? How do you feel? Give me a scenario. Somebody has a challenge that recently they went through and they were reactive that they would like to share. You got a good one? Please. Speak into the microphone.
I became angry.
You became angry at who?
At my brother.
Why?
Because he made the same mistake over and over.
Okay, what mistake did he make?
He left the front door of the house open.
Okay. So your brother left...
Well, it wasn't the front door. It has a door. I mean, it has a window, which is a door. It opens, so I have a big dog. She can look outside. And...
Got it.
But then he left, and nobody's on the first floor. So I have three girls.
And he's done that many times before.
Yeah, and I have three girls.
And you got upset about it.
Because you could just reach your hand in and open it.
Okay, and what did you do with your anger? How did you react?
I texted him.
Texted him. What did you text him?
Why do you leave the door open?
Okay, what an amazing question. All right, so after you text your brother, why do you leave the door open? How did you feel? What's your name?
Angry.
What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah. So what is Sarah going to feel as she's texting? How does she feel? How do you feel when you're texting?
I became angry.
Yeah. I know you're angry. But because you're angry, now you're texting. And you're probably getting more angry. But you know what you're feeling right now? When you're texting, you're feeling?
Pride.
One second. You're feeling the light. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I don't care about creation. I don't care about the game of life. I want the light without earning it. I want the light. I'm going to take the light. I'm not going to act like the light, which is the way we can, in a balanced way, receive the light forever, long term. I want energy now. I feel lack. I feel fear. I feel hurt. I want to feel that pain up right away. I need energy. And I found out that through texting him with a sarcastic, passive-aggressive, rhetorical question, I will get a little bit of energy. Why did you leave the door open? Do I even care why I left the door open? Of course you don't care. That question is really just to kind of hurt him in a way and to teach him a lesson. Really, subconsciously, that's why we do it. That's true. So when I'm reactive, the first thing I feel here is instant gratification. Oh, it feels good. You connect with the light. When a person does drugs, do they connect with the light? Yes or no? Yes. Everything is light. Drugs is light. Sex is light. Alcohol is light. Coffee is light. A compliment, I receive a compliment, that's the light. All of this is a way of getting energy, getting the light. The problem is how you get it, which will determine whether you have chaos or blessings. So after you connect with the light through instant gratification, reactively, the second concept is what I like to call the bread of shame bouncer. What does a bouncer do at a club? What's the role of a bouncer? Where's Alex? Alex, come here for a second. I'm sorry, I do it to you every time, but just people need to have a visual in their mind. And Alex can be a good bouncer. And there, we got a bouncer right there too. You see, we put the bouncer up there on the screen. So let's say Alex is called the bread of shame bouncer. Bouncer's job is to regulate who goes in and who goes out. So now I did a little short circuit and I got this light that I didn't earn, but I grabbed through reactive behavior. The world is designed in a way that we should never get the light without earning it. So the bread of shame bouncer comes along and says, hey, wait a minute. How'd you get that energy? Did you earn it through similarity of form, through transformation, which you agreed before creation that you would do? Well, no, I just took this light because I felt empty and needy. So the bread of shame balance just says, okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Be careful, it's hot. Thank you very much. You can't have it anymore. He institutes a curtain on the vessel. See the curtain? The curtain comes down. The light leaves. So I was waiting. I had the light. No, no, 1 second. I had the light. Felt so good from that reactive thing I did, that little energy I got. But now it's gone. And what do I feel? Emptiness, chaos, addiction. Now, when you feel that emptiness, what does, again, the opponent come and tell you to do? Go look for the energy again. Go look for, again, another text, another email. They're not respecting me. I need to say something again. I need to do something again. And it's a repetitive pattern of feeling empty, getting more energy. Feeling empty, getting more energy. Does that make sense? Yes or no? But my question to you is, thank you, Alex. Thank you. Thank you for donating your body for the fun. You don't have to clap for that. The question is, where does the energy go? Energy left. You felt good sending the text, and then what happens? 10 seconds later, you feel angry again. And you feel empty again. So where did the energy go? The energy actually goes to Satan. So every time I'm reactive, and I feel good, and then I lose that light, Satan, the opponent, gets that energy, and actually his army of negative forces increases, expands, gets more, and that becomes part of my life. So actually I have more negative forces now who are stronger, and that's what addiction is. Because us in this room, we're not addicted to something that we haven't tried. But what happens when you try it? And the energy is too much, addiction starts to form. And that's the whole pattern of the soul and its relationship with energy. That's actually how the opponent works, bread of shame works, and energy works in every situation in life. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, just very quickly, explain the concept we learn now with the person sitting next to you or in your group, please. All right, everyone. So what's the main purpose of this lesson? Why are we learning this? The main understanding is, number one of the reasons why it's so hard to break a pattern or to overcome a certain tikkun is because every time we react in that area, we give strength to the opponent, and there's another layer of the tikkun that's created. So people can't just change their anger. You shouldn't be upset if you're trying to change something and it's taking a long time. Or even negative thoughts. Some people just constantly receive negative thoughts and they push it away and they fight it and it seems like they keep coming. Because there are so many layers of negativity that we've created, past life and this life, and you just have to be patient with it. You have to be patient. The tests will come. Build your stamina. And the tests will come in weird ways, and you'll feel like it's the same test and you're failing it. You're not failing it. Each time, you're removing another layer. In the long term, you will have cleansed it. And once you've cleansed it, you will feel the totality of the light, and you will see commensurate blessings. You will see blessings equal to your transformation. That's number one. Number two, before I say number two, I want to take some of your questions about this concept. Do you have any questions that will help you understand the concept we just learned? Yes, please.
So I have a question. Like, I'm struggling to understand, I think, the subtle difference sometimes between reactive and proactive, because I think that there are times in life where you must stand up and say that something is wrong because it's wrong. And, you know, I had a situation this week where, you know, my sister has been posting to social media, and there are things that are much, much worse than this for sure, but this is just an example. She's been posting on social media very, very hurtful things about my mother, and she's been posting as a victim, not as a servant. And so I have been trying to exercise this pause, what a pleasure, pause until I am not reactive before I confront. I've been trying to practice this, and I was in a lot of prayer and meditation about this week. And I finally just decided that, you know what, like, it's time. I just have to say something. And so, long story short, we're like in this big fight now, and this big horrible darkness is like looming over my family.
Right.
But to get back to the question is, I'm not sure that I can really understand the difference.
Do you feel like you went through all the appropriate steps that we've learned in the last couple of classes about proactive confrontation? That it no longer bothers you. You're coming from a loving and giving place. And you also found out how to communicate in a way that the other person can mm-hmm. receive it.
No. This is why. Because
right.
How can you come always from something that is just wrong against another human being?
So I 100% agree with you.
Place?
But now what have you created now? A better or worse situation than before?
I don't know. How long do you sit down and watch something that's wrong?
You want to know how long I watch it? A long time sometimes. Because, hey, maybe they have their own movie, don't they? Your mom has her own movie with your sister, right? So, again, it's just a question. What if me getting involved and trying to stop, especially if it's reactive? When it's reactive, I know I'm not supposed to get involved. That's the creator's message to me, that I shouldn't get involved. Until I can overcome myself, then I have divine permission and the army of the light behind me to deliver the message. Us delivering a message by ourselves just actually creates more chaos. Next thing you know, she's posting about you and your mother. That's like a funny way of thinking how it might end up. So the idea is sometimes let the chaos unfold. It's actually what people need. They have their own process. And that's very hard, especially when it's people we love, to watch them fall, watch them make mistakes. It's very hard. And I'm not saying there's a clear, clear answer to it. But in general, you know, following the formula is the best way. And sometimes people aren't open and they've already chosen that they want to go through chaos. How can we stop that moving train? Because everybody has free will. If you now stop her free will, well, isn't that why she came to this world? To choose between light and dark? And if you choose for her, that's a problem. But if you're able to come from such a place where she feels the energy, she feels and understands, wow, you know what? Even though my anger doesn't want me to hear this right now, something's penetrating and I want to listen to you more. And that's very powerful. And I'm not always successful with that. But throughout years, I've learned how to more and more get a message across in scenarios that are, you know, very difficult. Very difficult. It's a great question. It's not that clear. Yeah, thank you for your question. It's not that clear. Very good. Very good. Any other questions? Yes, please.
I forgot my question. So if you're not supposed to approach someone until it doesn't bother you anymore, if it doesn't bother you anymore, wouldn't you not approach someone about
it? Very good. When it doesn't bother you anymore, what is a person's tendency when something doesn't bother them anymore?
To not approach someone.
Which just goes to show we only do things that benefit us. Hmm. In the beginning, who does it benefit for me to approach when I'm upset? Me, because I'm in pain. Now that I'm not bothered anymore, why should I approach? screw them, I'm fine now. So why do I want to approach now that it doesn't bother me? Because now it's true sharing. Now I'm sharing, now I'm talking to them because I really care about them. Me? In fact, I'd rather not. I'd rather not rock the boat. I'd rather be in my comfort zone. That's how you know it's real share, when you don't want to do it anymore. When you're excited about sharing, it means it's about you. When you're really excited about giving something, it means it's less about giving and more about the reaction you're going to get, the approval you're going to get, the love you're going to get back. So you have to be careful. You have to acknowledge, one second, I don't want to receive from this act of sharing. I want it to be pure sharing. How do you feel when you know someone's given to you and they had no reason to, they truly gave for you? Versus when someone gives to you and you know they had an agenda and they're getting energy from it. Is it as powerful? No, it's not. It's most powerful when you know they weren't in the mood to do it, they had no reason to do it, they went out of their way to do it, and they did it really just for you. That feels like the light. You feel that energy. In fact, I remember times in my life, friends, my parents, colleagues, I have these images in my mind when they shared with me. Now looking back, those were actually the times I realized they were in no mood to share, that they went outside of themselves. I remember a time in the hospital when my mom's mom was like dying and she was so consumed, but I was a kid and I needed attention and she was there. And she played a game with me. I remember it now. And now looking back, I realized the last thing she wanted to do was to give me any energy. And she still brought it out of herself to play. And why do I remember it? Because that moment was sharing without receiving. It was true sharing against the comfort zone. And we probably remember those times in our lives that other people did that for us. Sharing with an agenda is forgotten quickly because there's no energy behind it. So when you get an opportunity to share and it's the last thing you want to do, I'm not saying all the time, but it's actually a powerful thing to do. Yes?
Hi, Nila. All these weeks in my youth, there was some problems with my partners because they are making a lot of bad things, like talk bad with another people and talk bad about everything, negative waves.
A lot of evil speech, you're saying.
Yeah. And like 3 weeks ago, I'm feeling like very peaceful, like, okay, it's not my problem, it's their problem. But today, especially today, I was like really want to explode. Like, I take 3 breaths and I didn't say anything, but I really feel very bad because all the time I want to help and doesn't matter what I do, like maybe go downstairs or maybe, but nothing happens like to change that behavior.
You're saying no matter what you do, they still have the same behavior.
Yes, and I have to be there because it's my job.
Because it's your job, sure.
If not, I can quit, but not now.
How many people actually live in a toxic environment like that? Raise your hand. Okay. It's your job, it's your family, nothing you can do about it, right?
Yeah, but the thing is that feeling like really now, today, really want like
it was a
explode.
Lot.
I don't know.
Especially because you're becoming more connected and more spiritual, you're going to be much more sensitive to it. That's number one. Number two, why is the Creator putting you in a situation like that? He wants you to explode. He wants you to break out of sleepy consciousness. I'm not saying you have sleepy consciousness. We all have sleepy consciousness. Sometimes things annoy us so much because what happens when we get annoyed? What happens to our desire? When you're annoyed, what happens to your desire? Does it expand or shrink? Expands. So annoying things happen to actually expand our desire and make us ask for more, make us ask for change. Not to ask them for change. Ask the Creator, come on, I'm frustrated already. Show me. What do you want me to do? I'm doing everything you said. I'm following all the rules. Still in this toxic environment. I learned that you want me to be happy, but I'm not happy. Show me what you want me to do. Show me. All the time you need to be asking for that. And you're going to get it. You expand your ability for the light to come in, and you're going to get a message. Something's going to open up. It's like, imagine you're watching TV like this. You're watching Netflix, and you're just kind of like, You're in your coma. How big is your desire right now? And then imagine somebody comes and stands in front of you like this. Right in front of your favorite show. All of a sudden, you're in your coma, and you're like, hey, move. All of a sudden, you have this desire. Move. They move, and then when you get what you want, what happens? Back to the coma. Right? Thank you. So what happens is these things come up to awaken us. In future classes, we're going to learn about the power of desire and how to always stay at optimal desire and not fall into this satiated, life's okay. Things are good. Things are good now. Things worked out. The money came. The project came. The relationship. I see people sometimes when they want a relationship and they're not in one, such a desire, spiritual growth. Tell me what to do. Class on time. Boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, things open up and they find a relationship. Hey, where were you? Oh, we went out to this concert. It was amazing. Oh, we went out to this thing. Oh, we're on the phone. I'm on the phone with him. I'm on the phone with him all the time. Hey, baby. Yes, I love you too. I know I love you. No. I love you. No, you. Just shrinking the vessel. The same, what about the light? Who light? Light what? This guy, this girl, that's the light. Now I feel the light. Be careful. To be careful, we don't get lost in false idols. If any person, place, thing, situation, traveling, some project, anything gives you more energy than your connection spiritually, eventually that thing becomes idol worship, and that thing becomes a source of chaos. That thing starts to go astray. So you have to really be careful that nothing takes the place of your connection with the light. And with that connection, you can feed that energy to everybody else. Yeah? All right. Great questions. All right, one more question, then we're going to go into the new lesson.
I was wondering, are we just blessed in a way because we want to be spiritual? We have the urge to, you know, become good people and learn and desire, where some people grew up in a very abusive home, maybe were physically abused and don't seem to have empathy, are just kind of bad people. And did they, I don't know how to phrase it, but basically, do they not have a choice? Maybe they have mental illness, and can they help that they don't want to change and don't want to become a better person because of their circumstances in childhood?
Great question. So this delves into the reincarnation concept we'll talk about later also. For us in this class, we are here because there was an awakening in our soul. If we're here, if we're watching this class, if we're listening anywhere around the world, it's because there's an awakening in our soul, either from something positive we did this life, past life, something happened that opened me up to the light of the Creator. What about all the other people who aren't open to it? It's a tricky question. But one way to answer it is that all of us also have souls connected to us, okay? So that's the idea of quantum. So for example, you know, you could have 1,000 people in this world who are soulmates of yours, connected to your soul in some way, to your soul root. So when you do spiritual work, what you do to those 1,000 is you awaken them. And then they find a spiritual path, maybe not Kabbalah, something. They open themselves up to something that involves transformation and seeking a higher power. Kabbalah is not the only path we've learned. Kabbalah is an extremely powerful path that's very inclusive of everything we need to learn. But the Creator created many different religions and spiritualities that have similar concepts four different souls. So we are responsible, probably in this room, for millions of people. You have to believe that. You have to believe that every time you're overcoming something, you're elevating the soul of your family, of your parents, living or past. You're elevating the soul of some of your friends who are part of your soul root. That's why they became your friends. You're elevating your work environment. Some of these people are connected to your soul root. You're elevating people in other countries, other parts of the world. And that's the mission of Kabbalah in general, is to reach out to enough people, invest in enough people, and that person, their light, will inspire and change the world. Okay? All right. You guys ready for the new concept? Okay. Pride. Let's learn about pride now. Four different types of pride. Pride number one. Anytime we don't believe we need the light of the Creator, we think, I got it all under control. I know what's going on. When does a person usually feel they don't need the light? At what point in their life? When things are what? Things are going well. What light? Light? Yes, of course I need the light. It's kind of like one of those, yeah, but I know it came from the Creator. I love the light. Sure, yeah. But is it the same knowing and desire as when you're in the toughest time in your life? How much do you involve the light in everything you do? Do you involve the light when you're out with your partner or your spouse and you're having dinner with them? And do you believe right now the light of the Creator arranged this dinner? The light of the Creator is in this food. The Kabbalists say that anytime you connect with your consciousness that the light is in something, you awaken the light in that thing. And so it becomes part of you. You can only connect to what you're conscious of. So if I believe the light is in each person, then I connect to their light. I'm not saying believe that each person has the light because that's the right thing to do, or we're spiritual people and let's be virtuous and blah, all that. No. If I see the light in you, I connect to your light. Selfishly, I connect to it. I get more energy. Oh, there's light in you. There's light in you. Even in the worst people, even the person who's annoying me most right now, there's light in you. And when I think there's no light in people and it's just about me and I got everything under control, that's pride. Pride, and it severs me from the Creator. In fact, of all the types of tikkun we're going to learn, and there's a lot, it says that pride is the type of tikkun that the light completely leaves you. A person can be a murderer, a thief, evil speech, anger, all these things, the light is still with them. Just they're attracting negativity. Pride, the light leaves immediately. And that's why a lot of people have highs and lows. Things are great, amazing, amazing, amazing. And then all of a sudden they think they're in charge, king of the world, drop. Because the world is designed to break the pride. When you feel that you know better, you only you know, and you don't believe that the Creator is in the picture. This also follows the concept of how we reactively reach out to the light. You don't want to be that person that talks to the Creator or talks to the light when you need the light. When things are good, just talk, ask. Ask for things. Help me with this. Help me with that. Help me on my drive home. Help me talk to my friend right now. The Kabbalists say before a husband goes home at night, he has to pray that the Creator help him with his wife. You have to actually pray. You actually take a moment and pray. In fact, if you just go home like this, open the door, go in, chaos. You actually have to stand by the door and say, please, help me be a channel. I need you. If you don't think you need the light, you're in for a surprise. Because whoever your partner is, spiritual partner, the Creator has given them the power to attack you when you're being selfish or negative. So the first line of messages from the universe actually comes from your relationship, your romantic relationship, where they will tell you you're not with the light. Now, they're not going to actually tell you, hey, you're not with the light. You're not going to come home and your wife's not going to say, listen, George, I don't think you're with the light right now. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like, why this? Why that? How come this? How come? Things totally unrelated, giving you a hard time because that person, he or she, is giving you a hard time because the Creator told them to, because the Creator sees you're not with the light. Okay? And you're all confused. Like, wait a minute, I'm the greatest person ever. What are you talking about? I did all these nice things for you today. Why are you upset? They're upset because they feel and see you're not with the light. You have pride. Totally unrelated. Solution? Constantly ask the Creator for help in both good and bad times. Number two, you feel you are better than others with superiority and disdain. Whenever you think you know more, you know a better diet, you know a better workout, you know Kabbalah. I know Kabbalah. You don't. It's a problem. You're not with the light. They're not with the light. I feel bad for them. When you don't have compassion, but instead you have separation, that you feel, you have to be careful, because if you want blessings to keep happening and you keep going up, 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 you have to always catch your ego when things are going well. Catch your pride. Before I started teaching in live classes, I asked a senior teacher, what's the best piece of advice you can give me about teaching? He said something that was just so beautiful and didn't really make sense at the time, but later on made more sense. He said, when you have a great class where you feel that everyone really connected to it and it was amazing, go home and make sure you look inside for all the things you did wrong and do repentance. That's what he said. I said, repentance? You do repentance when you did something wrong. When you give a great class, why should you do repentance? So he said, almost always when you give a great class, you're going to have so much pride and ego automatically built in, you'll be blinded, you won't even know that it happened. And you have to go home and connect and tell the Creator, you know what? Thank you for being a messenger. I'm going to now let go of it completely. You know, when something good happens, what do? Something good happens in our lives. What do in our mind? In the shower? It's always in the shower, right? What a great class. What a great presentation I gave the other day. Wow. And that commercial I just did, I looked so good. Wow. I was in a business meeting, and the boss asked me, what do you think? And I nailed it. We just finished the marathon. Really proud of yourself. All you're thinking about is how you finished the marathon. Just taking energy from past accomplishments, reliving them in your mind. Nice. So nice. Do we do that? Do we do that? Or maybe you bought something really nice, like clothing, or it's like a nice hair, something you're always like looking at it, pictures, or just kind of looking at yourself in the mirror, just nice. Taking energy from it. Always be careful. Be balanced. Make sure the energy is not controlling you. When the energy is controlling you, it's a sense of pride, and it disconnects you from the light of the Creator. Again, we don't want to become people who are just like, oh, I can't enjoy life. It's about balance and always remembering to be with the light. Okay? All right, before we continue to the last two, please share if you feel that you relate to either number one or two somewhere in your life. Just give a quick example of somewhere in your life that you might have done one or two. Okay, please.
I read more about something. Right. Yeah. I just don't feel like I'm better now.
Don't you?
Like, I guess it's kind of like that fear. Not in a level.
All right. Anybody have a good example they want to share? Good, funny example? Great. Alex volunteered.
No, I
don't. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's bring the mic over. Great. Please. Please. It's actually good for the pride.
Sure. I was just explaining to my table that in theory, you know, I always know I need the light. Sometimes I find
Wait, in theory what?
In theory, I know I need light. Like, you know, I'm always like, okay, bring me light. I need the light. It's important. Yeah. Some days, for whatever reason, like the past week, I've been having a very hard time finding the light. And it wasn't until today that I actually found it. And all of a sudden, abundance comes.
Right.
And so I was just explaining to the table that. So I guess I don't really have a question other than I was just making a
no,
statement.
No, it's good. It's a good example. Because, by the way, it says that you're closer to the light when you don't feel the light. And when you feel the light, that's actually now you're getting farther away.
But yeah. I like to be further away because my life is so much better when I'm feeling the light. Like, because abundance comes
so
in.
So once you got the abundance, this is already the reward of your spiritual work. But when you're not feeling the light and you're doing the work, you're actually earning the light. Then once you got it, you actually start the period where you start over. So technically the best times of your life are when it's dark and you're putting in the effort, pushing. I don't feel the light. No, I have certainty. I don't feel the light. Still going to be kind. Still going to go outside of myself. Still not going to react. Still going to watch my pride and my issues and my fears. That's the most powerful time of your life. Then when the good things start happening, it's a different type of spiritual work. You have to be careful it doesn't put you into the coma. Or put you into, I'm better than other people. Or then you start telling everybody, guys, you got to do it my way. Look, I did it, and it worked. Now you got to do it. So it's a different type of satan altogether. The safest is actually when things are not going well. You're actually most connected. You're closest to the created when you don't feel the creator. It's ironic, but it's the reality. Just to appreciate when you feel disconnected. That's the point. Who else has a good example to share? Anybody here? I feel there's a good one here. I definitely feel there's a good one here. Okay, go for it.
So my friend was telling me how she was having drama with one of her old coworkers and how he was talking badly about her and how she like wanted to confront him. And in my mind, I was like, you don't know Kabbalah. Like, I was like, oh, like I could help you. But like, I just felt a sense of superiority and I like felt it. And I felt like I couldn't explain to her. And I was like, well, she'll learn later or like whatever. So I like just felt that sense of superiority because she didn't know Kabbalah.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's very good, very good. So yeah, so very important, right? At that moment, you feel it, say, wait a bit, no. Feel compassion, speak their language, go down to their level, help lift up through affinity of form. Not to give them evil eye because they don't know or they don't understand. Very good example. All right. Okay, let's go to the next ones. They get better, by the way. They get better. 3, looking for approval and needing the validation of others. I think we just skipped this one. Nobody has an issue with this one. This is pride. Every time I'm looking for a person's approval and not the approval of the creator, which is the only approval you're allowed to look for, it is idol worship. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is a code. I don't know if you know, but all the wisdom of Kabbalah is sourced from the Bible, the Old Testament. The Zohar, these books here, are the deep, powerful, mystical books that crack the code of the Bible and reveal practical lessons of life. One of the things that the Zohar shares is that idol worship, which we don't have idols, nobody bows down to idols today, is a metaphor for the fact that we give our power to people. And we are hungry for their attention. And our mood is based on whether they smile at us or they don't. Whether they like us or they don't. Whether they click on our social media page or they don't. They unfollow. When people unfollow you, it means you're getting closer to the light. When you don't get approval, it's actually getting you closer to the light because it breaks your pride. Anything that breaks your pride brings you closer to fulfillment, your soulmate, health, happiness, children, abundance, and wealth. In fact, every compliment takes you away from it. What, so I can't hear compliments? Of course you can hear compliments, but you can't let the compliments control you. Kabbalists would run away from respect and positions of respect, knowing that the respect might get them to a place where they have pride and disconnect from true fulfillment. What's worth it? Feeling good five seconds for somebody liking me, or abundance, wealth, true power, true connection, true everything else? So when you get a compliment, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your kind words. Don't be obnoxious. No compliments. I want to be with the light. I only want the light. No, that's obnoxious. That's reactive. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. No, really, I do. And then remove it from your brain. Don't milk it. Don't go into the movie. I guess I am. No, move it. Move on. Thank you, light. Thank you. The compliment is really yours. I appreciate everything that you're giving me. Next. Right? Asking for feedback is okay for the sake of growing. I think it's very important for all of us to ask feedback. What do you think I can change? How did you think that was? What could be good? What was bad about it? What was good about it? What do you think? What do you feel? Be open to criticism. Be open. You're cleansing negativity. You're cleansing your own selfishness, your own pride that you decided to invest in many years ago, that you idol worshipped. Let it cleanse you and move on, and the light will take care of you. No, but all these people won't like me anymore. They won't do business with me. They won't want to be with me. They won't want to be friends with me. Huh? So you believe that these people are more powerful than the light? You want to be with the light, or you want to chase after these people? It's very draining chasing after people, isn't it? It's very draining getting people to like you. It's horrible. You go home at night empty, and it's never enough. And by the way, do you like someone who's looking for you to like them? Nobody likes it. Nobody, by the way. As soon as somebody comes up to you and is like looking for your energy, you're like, whoa. Well, come on, buddy. I don't know what you want, but this taking energy, not for me. I only want to be around people who are the lights, who don't need anything, and who have certainty about their path and they're moving forward. Isn't it true? Don't you want to be around people who have certainty moving forward? Or you love people who are needy and only want you to like them? Intention can't be for validation. We have to be careful. Sometimes, you know, you notice that we say things because we're looking for someone validation? Can I just throw it out there? Like bring up a topic about something that you're very good at so that conversation can start happening or something? To be very careful. Very careful not to drop it. Oh, drop it. Drop a conversation starter about something that's going to make me look good. Start the conversation. Make me feel good. Wounded child. Almost all forms of need for approval or validation stem from something that's happened in our past, which of course is sourced from a past life, tikkun, but something that's happened in our past where we didn't get approval or validation, where we didn't get a type of energy that we were looking for from someone or something. Can you think what that would be for you? Aaron, would you mind sharing what you shared with us in the mentor meeting? You okay with that? Can we get the mic? Aaron, we did this workshop with the mentors before this class. And Aaron shared something very unique, very nice. I asked Aaron, did you get approval when you were a child, right? So what was your answer?
So what I shared was my family moved when I was 9 years old. So when I got to a new school, fourth grade, I really became like that kid with like the sign, like kick me on the back. I was bullied by boys and girls alike. getting crank called, getting, you know, just miserable life. And that went on, I would say, until I was really a sophomore in high school, so many years. So we were talking, what was the result of that? And I think that because I felt rejected by my peers through that age, I then rejected this notion of ordinary life. So my reaction was, I'm going to be extraordinary. I don't want to do anything that's ordinary. You're moving, you know, 20 minutes into the city. I'm moving to Paris. I'm starting my own business. I'm 24 years old. You know, going to actually like very, very far extremes to be extraordinary in a way that kind of rejects them back.
Very good. Very good. And that's building, thank you very much, Karen. And that's building the complex of pride when we make decisions like, now, is there anything wrong with moving to France? No. But when it's with the intention of, I was hurt, so I'm going to feed my hurt by being rebellious, so you feed the tikkun, right? Or what might happen in a case like that is, you'll want to say something different or do something different than everyone else, even if it's not right. But just because it's the pattern of, I want to be different. I want to be unique. I don't want to be like them. I want to show them. It's all, none of it's the intention of oneness, unity, being with the Creator, moving on from my nonsense, removing this burden that I'm trying, this complex I'm trying to feed. It's all about, how do I feed this wounded child? This lack that I had many years ago. Yes.
But it sounds like it was a positive. I mean, I don't know your life, but yeah. That wounded child could have made you very successful, prominent. I mean,
and a lot of people it does. But just because it creates a physical result, it doesn't mean that the light is in that result. And we know that because people can be successful and then the success goes away, or they're not happy, or other problems emerge. That's the problem. Our society says, you know what? I was bullied and then I showed them and yeah. But you didn't solve the problem at its seed level. So the cancer continues. Just now you're wealthy. The cancer continues. Just now everybody likes you, but the cancer is there. So the cancer sucks the light out. It sucks the happiness out. It sucks. So the person still has the same fears, same issues, whatever. They just have a lot of instant gratification around them to numb them. And our society rewards people. That's the problem. Without Kabbalah and spirituality, we think, well, it was great. You were bullied, and look what you did. You brought solutions to the world. No. You have to go deep and do those great things, but not because you want to fill the dark hole. Somebody. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Does every single person have to wound a child inside them? Do we all have that?
I mean, you know, maybe in the psychology world, I'm not sure what they would say. Maybe yes, maybe no. Technically, because we all have tikkun, right? We come to this world with baggage, with tikkun. That tikkun will manifest somehow as a child. So somehow in our childhood or in our teenage years, an event will occur based on the tikkun I came with to awaken trauma in this life. But it was already pre-written that you were going to go through it. It was already pre-written that Erin would go through what she went through in her school. It was already pre-written that we would go through whatever we went through when we were young, because it needed to awaken the tikkun process for us that today we have to deal with. So I just want to share with you the last one, because I'm getting a little late. I'm sorry keeping you. Last one. Difficulty receiving criticism. It's the last aspect of pride. A person has a hard time receiving criticism, which is connected to what we spoke about before. The external ego fights back, blames others. Usually it's painful when it's right, by the way. When people are saying something either in the wrong way, the wrong tone, and even if somebody who doesn't love you is giving you criticism and it hurts, they're striking a chord, they're striking something true. A very strong person can accept criticism and make sure that the criticism doesn't do the opposite, which causes you to beat yourself up and go into depression. So Satan either will make you react externally or make you be depressed. Either or, he wins. Criticism is about viewing the criticism as an opportunity to learn, to cleanse. It's cleansing me. It's painful. It's cleansing me. And to connect. Your soul is pure. No one can hurt your soul. When people criticize, all they're doing is removing all the gunk on the soul. Very important to be open to criticism. And in fact, a lot of people I've seen fail in high positions is because they didn't, because their underlings weren't able to communicate to them what they were doing wrong. And if you are in a position of power or respect or teaching or whatever, you have to make sure that the people under you feel the freedom to tell you what you're doing wrong. I gave this exercise to somebody in a business who has 50 employees. I said, I want you to invite all your employees to anonymously write down every single thing they think about you. And it was so painful for them. The things that they heard that their employees actually think of them, it said it humbled them for a good 2 days. And then after that, I'm changed. But it helped. It's very important. And if you have people who work for you or work beside you, create a scenario where you can ask them and invite them to share with you the brutal honesty anonymously. And then to learn from it and get excited about it. All right? All right, guys. That's it for our class today. You can hang out, connect, talk about what we've learned, and we'll see you next week.